Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. That's a good place to start.
Hey, I need you to give me like
vibes.
Your Dark Storm. Is it Dark Storm?
Quiet Storm.
Quiet Storm. God damn it.
dark and stormy is a drink.
My alcoholic ass.
Dark
Quiet
Storm.
Storm, bitch.
Quiet Storm.
Yes. That's right.
Let's go.
Yeah.
You begging God, huh?
Yeah.
I just feel like if Eve was the creator, we wouldn't be having these issues. You know what I mean?
It's true.
Like, not us begging. God was a man. Do you think he gonna really give us what we want? You know what I mean? Like, I get it. Yeah, God gonna come through when he come through.
I think it's like the idea of God.
Yes. Okay.
No, because I feel like God is a woman person.
Oh, come on, Ariana Grande.
I think God's non-binary. I think God has everything. He's omnisexual.
Not omnisexual. Bitch, what is that? Is that a sexual?
I mean, I don't
reality?
Know. I was thinking of it as an identity more so than a preference. But
omnisexual, what is that?
Well,
omni is everywhere, so it's like you just have everywhere, everything. You got all the things.
All the things.
To make everything sexual? It's like...
I'll be so God, sick of it.
I don't feel like God has a gender. I think that's like us.
But of course, leave it to the men to make it masculine and he's a man. Right. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, only when it's... Only agenda. When it's convenient. Yeah, there's an agenda.
Like, them niggas even wrote the Bible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh. They did everything.
No, not everything.
I was praying to a woman God.
All okay. Right. I know that's right.
I know that's right.
He was like, please.
I was like, girl, please.
Fix these niggas down here.
Girl.
Earth is ghetto.
Dear God, help
someone,
these men. They're fucking lost.
Someone help me, because I ain't going to lie.
Listen,
like,
the way there is piss in the dating pool, I give up, bitch. Someone went in there. It might be more than piss. A nigga shitted in that bitch, too.
Damn.
And now it's just floating to the top.
It's a mess.
I don't even try.
It's a whole mess.
I don't even try.
Oh, yeah.
I know that's right.
Well, welcome to another episode of See the Thing Is.
Yes!
There is so many things we got to get to today. We have a lovely Friends with Benefits joining us today on our couch. And
we so do.
We love it because...
Yes! A round of applause.
Mandy and I are really blessed in this life, right? Because God that is a woman blessed Mandy and I both with incredible friends and connections.
You know, somebody asked that recently, by the way, and we'll introduce her soon.
Yes.
Don't fucking get on our mentions.
Just to put a pin in that.
You know,
we're coming back.
But someone wrote in our mentions, yeah, like, dang, how do y'all find all these great guests? And I literally had to respond.
Be like,
and I was like, yo, these be our friends.
These are our friends for real.
They're
these
fucking
are
dope.
Yeah.
This really my people's for real. So right. we are really blessed to have one of my really good friends. And we've played her music. We've referenced
yeah.
her a number of times. We called her. We've called her a couple times. And she is just, she's a phenomenal soul, man. Mm. She's just a good spirit. Yeah, I mean, I try to think of words that are really expressive mm-hmm. and properly applied. But I think just beautiful soul is really the first thing that comes to mind. But you are an incredible talent. You are an artist. You are a songwriter. You are an activist, an advocate for all things black, all things women, All things creative. All things music. All things creative. Which you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Baby.
And
what's her name, Bridget?
And
what's her name?
Her name is. I know. God.
I'm like.
Wait. Let me keep going. Is there more? Is there more? Too many words.
What the hell is her name?
Her name is Tiffany Fred. Yes. Tiffany Red. Tiffany Fred. Are we going by Tiffany Red or Tiffany Fred?
Tiffany Red.
We're Tiffany Red.
Yeah.
Tiffany
with the red hair.
With the red hair.
By the way, can I tell you? And this is gonna girlify this conversation just a little bit. I literally told myself I would never have red hair again. The way everything was pink in my house, the way my sheets, my clothes, Same. The collar to my shirt. Yeah. I said, I know y'all liking this red vibe. Never again.
Wig.
Never ever.
It's a wig.
Oh, it's a wig. So yes. It comes that color.
No, I dyed it. Oh,
she dyed it. She did make this is a custom color.
Oh, yeah. I dye my own hair. But I used to wear, I used to dye my real hair.
Right.
And red would be everywhere.
Everywhere.
Collar, your shirts, your
bro,
pillows.
Sis, my hair is green. I know the struggle.
Bro.
I don't wear white anymore. It's over.
I take this shit off.
Oh, so you just sit it on the nightstand at night?
That's a good wig, though, because you did. I didn't know.
I didn't know. I didn't know. It's a good wig. Baby, you got a good wig.
You got a good wig.
Baby, you got a good wig. Now, I'm excited for this when she told me you were coming. I think the last time we all got together, we were just eating pizza around the corner from our house.
Yeah.
And we're chatting it up like girls do. And we were talking about some toxic shit, right? Because I had my homegirl with me. We were talking about some toxic shit. But I'm excited. What brings you to New York? Are you doing more things than just seeing us? Because I know you
came here. I came here just for y'all.
She drove up just for us.
I drove up just for y'all. I woke up early this morning. I got ready.
She came for us.
Nah, I did my wig.
Yeah. You know it's real, ladies. You know it's real when it's I did my wig. I did my makeup. I came prepared.
I got ready for y'all.
Yeah. Listen. Well, the timing is perfect, really. And I thought the timing was great because Tiffany is super active with her mission, the 100%ers.
Let's get into it.
And I say mission because it is a community at this point of other creatives and other industry members as well, music industry members, of people that are on the march for justice and equality and fair treatment and fair pay, equal pay, and really at this point reparations. Honestly, it's reparations for songwriters in this industry. So I did want to have you come up here this week because I know you have something really, really important and really urgent coming up. And I wanted you to share that with us. And then we can obviously talk about all the other stuff you got going on, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk to me. What's up?
So we're marching on, is it Tuesday the 29th? I believe it's a Tuesday.
Yes.
Tuesday the 29th, which is next week.
Yeah.
And we're marching. I'm kind of low-key nervous because this is where we're taking the fight from Spotify to the label. So we're marching from Spotify to Warner.
Wow. Oh. So you're going to start at Spotify.
And we ending at Warner.
We're
going
to start
baby.
With Spotify. Y'all going to give them the smoke and then take it down to Warner.
We got a marching band.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What is the march
they
for?
They playing Bitch Better Have My Money.
No,
they playing
Shut up.
Let's go, BB Borelli.
That's what you talking about.
We playing that. We playing, what else are we playing? I don't know. I saw a few requests from some of the team, but our last event, which was a couple weeks ago, was loud too. Just PA system, on the side of Sunset, in front
horn.
Of Soho. Yeah. They were so pissed. So it's the same vibe, but we're marching this time. So we gonna march through the street with our marching band, and I hope even more songwriters and producers and artists and executives and allies, managers pull up and help us get to this bag because it's fucking ridiculous.
So what is the mission statement for the 100%ers? Because you launched this in the beginning of the pandemic, and I remember this being right before both of us relocated back to the East Coast together pretty much. And you right before we left, I remember you talking really passionately about wanting to start something, start a nonprofit or a company, corporation, something that could be a home and a community and a landing place for creatives that were lost because there was just no access to the funds that they were owed. Mm-hmm. So I did want to, I guess, what's the overall?
What is it about?
Yeah.
Okay, so we advocate for songwriters, producers, artists, and engineers. We advocate for everybody.
of course, what's near and dear to my heart is the Black community.
Of course.
And the marginalized community. But we advocate for everybody. And from, I mean, I've helped get people out of publishing contracts to the more politics stuff, like our royalty rates with Spotify, which we don't have any control over. That's decided on in D.C. With the Library of Congress, I believe it's called. Just from like literally in the weeds in like everybody's day-to-day stuff to the more systemic stuff.
Right.
Right now we're focused on songwriters. Songwriters are paid, I mean,
almost nothing.
Right now we're getting paid 0.003% of a penny per stream.
Wait, of a penny?
Per stream. Mm-hmm.
That's Spotify's number.
Well, and they're, so the reason why.
There ain't no, wait. It's I'm like, doing the math.
It's not even real money. It's not real
There's
money.
There's no way there is.
A million streams for the whole song is about $200.
To the songwriter.
For the whole, the whole thing. That's for all.
If for everyone all, to bust down.
Yeah.
Bitch, you lying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's really, really bad. Yeah. It's really bad. And the thing is it's regulated by the government. So, like, look at it like minimum wage. Like, you don't have a seat at the table to help decide what minimum wage is going to be.
Right.
You just are, it's decided, and then that's what it is.
The powers that be make the decision.
Exactly.
It's not the people that actually have to show up to those jobs.
Yes.
Wow.
And so it's the same thing with this. So we don't have a seat at the table when it comes to who decides what we get paid. It's three judges in D.C. that decide what we get paid. And right now, Spotify, so in 2018, songwriters got a pay raise of 44% of, a 44% pay increase from that 0.00, like, and Spotify appealed it. So they're also fighting us
to even make money.
To make better money.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's weird because, I mean, we had a recent conversation about it and I was like, well, aren't y'all signing these things? Like, isn't that what's in on the paper? Like, you know what you're making when you go into the studio. Like, couldn't you just not go into the studio?
They would never get anybody to come in there and write if any of that shit was on paper. No. Well, you don't come into the studio and there's some contract in front of you to come write. And no, it's not like, that's the problem. That's what we're advocating for. So,
okay.
So.
It's giving volunteer hours.
It is.
It's giving internship.
It's giving charity.
You're not paying for your time. So you're not paying for your time. And then it's like a lottery. So say I'm doing records for Bridget. Say Bridget's working on an EP. An EP only got 5 records on it. Bridget might cut 50 records.
Only 5 gonna make it.
But only 5 are gonna make it. So, but the 50 leading to the 5 are just as important as the 5 because it's the journey.
Right.
That's how you get to the... Yeah, that's what creates the vibe. That's what creates the momentum, creates the storyline, creates the sound, all of that, right? So the people who create...
So if you wrote on them other 45 songs, but they didn't get
paid
placed?
You didn't get paid for your time. You usually didn't get bought no lunch. You didn't get your parking...
Paid for.
And if you in L.A., you know parking is like $15, $20. Or your Uber reimbursed, any of that kind of stuff.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then if the song gets picked up... So Bridget picks up the song.
Yep.
Let's say this is... Bridget is signed to a major label.
Yep.
She picks up the song. Me and you did it. I wrote it. You produced it. You get paid an upfront fee because you produced it. So when the label and the artist does the deal to purchase the song, that's only done with the producer. It's not done with the producer and the songwriter. So the songwriter literally doesn't have any leverage when it comes to negotiation because we're not a part of the conversation. And then also, I've been trying to find the simplest way to explain this, but I'm just going to go for it. Okay, so there's one copyright for a song, right?
Yes.
A copyright is broken up into 2 pieces, right? So imagine a pie, split that bitch. So that's the publishing, and then there's the sound recording.
Okay.
The publishing is the part of the song that the songwriters... make money from.
Got you.
The sound recording is the part of the song that the record label and the artist, the artist
yep.
and and producers make money off of.
Okay.
The sound recording is, I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but the sound recording is, just throwing a number out there, I'd say at least 10 times more. It's worth 10 times more than publishing, and even more now because of streaming.
Because of streaming.
Yes. So now I do a record on, I do songs on Bridges Project, right? So say I'm one of, we're one of the lucky five. Now, if I didn't write Bridges' single, because it's the lottery, right? The singles are the records that are making the money.
The money,
it's not
yep.
the, it's not like back in the day when somebody had to buy the full album yep. just to listen to their favorite yep. track seven yep. and whatever.
Right.
So now, if I didn't write the single, not only did I not get paid for my time,
right.
but I also am not going to make any money because I'm not the writer that wrote the song that's about to be streamed
the biggest
most.
Song, right.
Yeah.
Damn.
So it's like, you, it's like endless L's. And at this point.
But also, as the value of the other contributors goes up, the value for the songwriter diminishes.
And the right now, the music business literally just made history for earning the most it's ever earned, and it's because of streaming.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, they'll be like, you know.
Which is crazy because now everyone is making more money except the artists.
Right.
And it's crazy too, right? Because we're now seeing all these docs like TLC. Yep. I just brought up DaBand. We're seeing all of these people that signed these shit deals and also weren't making any money. We've seen Lisa Left Eye Lopez, yep. RIP, break down how TLC was dead ass broke.
Yep.
And had to pull up to a studio to get their money.
You know, yes. And now, but now we're seeing the same happen with YBN Youngboy. We're seeing Meek Mill say he doesn't make any money.
Yeah.
Keisha Cole said she's never made money as an artist.
And it's off the royalty. Yeah. It's off of the, it's specific to royalties. Like, they're not making any money off the sound recording. But the reason is because most times they're not recouped, right? Which is honestly,
no one recoups.
But and no, well, here's and the thing that's too. Cap. How could you not recoup?
Because
how could they make that much money and not recoup?
So here's the thing, right? Too, and I'm only getting into it because now, and we talked about it. A lot of these podcasting deals are very much reading like music contracts.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them did.
It's giving 360.
Oh, baby.
We got to open a podcast section of 100% of it.
Listen.
Don't play with me.
Seriously. So the not only are they coming in wanting a percentage, when you insert that word recouped, right?
Yep.
A lot of the times it deals with recouping studio time, which is production. It includes recoupment of marketing, promotion, and something else. But basically that's the thing, right? Marketing, promotion. Damn, and I wish I could remember the third one. You could literally umbrella so many things.
Maybe advertising. It might say advertising.
Is advertising not marketing?
It should be the same, but it's separate.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can sit here and say the cost of this ad to get you placed here was X amount of dollars.
Right.
Like the, even, and I'm trying not to give my own business information out, but even things that don't cost the label or the company, there's still a market value price on that.
Yep.
So even though they didn't necessarily spend the money, they're like, well, this is the value of it. So this is a cost that you have to recoup because we did this for you.
I feel like recoupment is such bullshit.
It's some bullshit.
The terms of recoupment is bullshit.
There we go.
Because the and this was something we discussed even early on when we launched the podcast in understanding production, the overhead cost to produce a podcast.
But podcasting versus record deals versus publishing deals versus all those deals are so different.
For sure.
Right.
As far as what goes into it. Like with recouping for a publishing deal, if you were a songwriter, like the if you're in a co-publishing deal, which means it's usually 50-50, your publisher's job is to exploit your copyright. What does that mean? They take the song that me and Mandy just made for Bridget, and they take that shit to who's looking for a record for what movie, who's looking for a record for what video game, who's looking for a record for what, whatever. It's their job to exploit the copyright to the max. So every single time you see another commercial that has another old school 90s record playing in it. That's what publishers are supposed to do. That's not what they're doing.
Gotcha.
That's what they're supposed to do. So when you moving through your deal is based off of recouping, when recouping is something that should be the responsibility of both the person who signed and the publisher, because their end of the bargain is literally exploiting your copyrights, creating opportunities for you. They sell where we provide creative services. No, the fuck you don't.
The creative services.
Because everybody's coming to me and saying, I don't got a point person until, you know what I'm saying?
Which was really, I mean, by and large, the issue that Mandy and I had in the very beginning with navigating a new podcast under someone else's, under an umbrella, under someone else's network, and not really having, and it's not to shit on anybody, but it's just we didn't have say so and access around what things actually cost per week, what things actually cost overall.
And I wanted to see numbers.
And we wanted to understand kind of better, which...
Because I said, bitch, I got money. I don't need you to pay for everything.
Right.
Like, and
but that's the control.
Well, not only control. We went in as owners. And there's no way I'm going to be a part of owning anything where I don't have final say in what happens.
Right.
And that's where...
And we can't decide what things cost and what they should cost.
Money is the power part.
It is.
Because when they're the ones that are putting up the... Well, and that's my beef with the music business, because they don't put up as much money anymore. So if you're not gonna pay the songwriters, if you're the producer fees, when I first started, I started writing music professionally in 2007, and I was signed to the Underdogs, and I know that they were not taking $5,000-$10,000 a track. There's no way they could have maintained that beautiful ass studio on Cahuenga Boulevard. Get the fuck out of here. I can't even imagine somebody coming to them offering them $10,000 for their incredible ass services, right?
No way.
So if you're not spending $30,000-$50,000 what they used to spend on records, so if it's cheaper to, you're not, everybody don't got a studio, we recording at the crib now. So all of your costs are cut, but you still want to take the same amount. You're not investing. It's not, at this point, it's not advantageous as a business person to do a publishing deal or a record deal that is traditional.
Right.
They have to change it.
So then why do you think people still want to be signed? Why is that even
still a thing? Because of the validation.
Ah.
Well, the validation, but also the access to the
and
things
the promise,
that they...
And the promise.
People be lying.
That they'll have
it,
but that's what
but these promises.
Yeah, but you
broken
don't know
promises,
that.
Promises, they all lie.
But people
they
don't,
break them promises, okay?
Yeah, but they don't... There's not a lot of people out there to really tell you the truth about what's really
but
going
but we're
on.
But it's all out there. It's in documentaries
deals and shit.
But it's
and
also,
publishing deals.
It's also access to the industry,
yes,
right?
And it's so small.
It's very small. And it's run by labels for the most part. Still, no matter what people say, as much as you got artists like Russ who are really making it work for them,
the majority of the music industry is run by labels.
Okay.
Yes.
And so in terms of figuring
and
out,
it's run by the three major labels, because the thing is people create record labels all the time and then they sell it,
yep,
or they do a deal with a major label. Mm. So we've got Universal, Warner, Sony,
yep,
all of the other those are the umbrellas. All of these other labels
are all under those umbrellas.
Yeah. So all the money goes back into that main pot.
Right.
And by the way, record labels keep 80% of the money.
Jeez, 80? I would never sign no 80-20, no bullshit. What type of shit is that?
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to talk about, so we're talking about how the labels are somewhat stealing from the artists and not giving the artists their just due. But Kanye West... we know about the stem player that he just released. And instead of paying the $200 fans, I want to get into what fans are doing to take money out of artists' pockets as well. So instead of paying the $200, Kanye fans wrote a stem player emulator to pirate Donda 2. It's giving...
They wrote somebody?
They created a code. They created a code that could emulate what the stem player was doing in order to download the music.
Yeah.
In order to rip the waves off the stem player to be able to download it, convert it to MP3, so on and so forth, and have the album essentially without the stem player.
And they say that, so the tech behind the stem player is simple. It uses an artificial intelligence model like Splitter to separate the audio into four distinct sounds called stems, which I know stems because each of us have a stem in podcasting.
Yes.
Our mics. The hockey puck designed by Cano Labs is basically a four-way volume knob for these custom engineer sounds. And basically, I guess the fans was like, $200 is too much.
Right.
We're going to go ahead and just get this shit for free. Which is kind of what we dealt with in the era of Napster.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Where an artist weren't getting paid, which is... And that became a big deal from the labels aspect and artists.
I mean, but bootlegging has been a thing forever. There's always going to be somebody that copies your shit.
Right. Go to Canal Street, y'all will see it.
But when you think about it, when you think about who's really in this situation, this is probably the only situation where you're bootlegging the artist. Every other time, if you're bootlegging from a DSP or you're bootlegging from whatever, you're not cutting the artist off of anything. You're cutting off from the label.
And they probably are like, oh, it doesn't matter. He's rich.
Right.
So dismissive of like his money and his work.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm. It's wild. It's really wild.
That's fucked up.
Oh shit. Look at me trying to look. I'm trying to. Sorry, y'all. We switched up on the aux today.
Just for the beginning.
But just for the beginning, we got into some music. But y'all know we gonna get into the shits now.
We gotta get into the shits.
We gotta get into the shits, baby.
Man.
And I brought this back.
Even this song.
You know what?
What's his name? Rich Harrison?
Rich Harrison. Yeah.
Who's Rich Harrison?
The producer of this record.
Oh.
And he did, was it Crazy? Wait.
Crazy in Love.
Yep. For
which is crazy because they said these sound very much alike.
Yeah.
Like there was
they
a came whole
out,
thread
they,
on
they
that.
Were out around the same time.
Yeah. Well, I love this, and I'm going to keep it forever, just so you guys know.
Manny
I know Bridget tried
the,
to take it out, but
she
I was
loves
like,
it as the
we'll
transition
do Beautiful,
song. We could switch,
One
we could
Thing,
switch, we could switch.
And Peaches. Was it Peaches and Cream?
Peaches and Cream was good,
That's
too.
Our other... So we got them as our little transition songs to get us from one topic to the next. What else we got next on the docket, girl?
Man, listen.
Y'all, Bridget made this outline, so I'm like, let her rock.
Since we in music...
Uh-oh.
We going to talk about what's been circulating... What's been circulating as
of
late.
Over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, because, I mean, listen, if one thing the music industry is going to do is going to abuse women, okay?
And oh, Jesus. Hold on.
They just, and that goes, that is a shot at the men in the industry, the ones that participate and contribute to the abuse, and also the other ones that are cowardly and that complicit.
Looking away.
That turn a blind eye to the bullshit. And we discussed briefly the situation with Big Lotto and her doing an interview with Big Boy's Neighborhood about the fact that one of the samples or somebody's verse wouldn't be cleared because it was a male artist that
wanted to
essentially was threatening to not use the verse if she wasn't willing to give up the cheeks. And
so disgusting.
Right. But did you want to
no,
get
you,
into
you have the, you have the audio, so I think you should play it. And I think I think this is something that you know, obviously, you know, the fans, baby, are the FBI, the internet. People will find what? Sound bites. People will find captions, quotes, tweets, clips.
And to be fair, Lotto did not confirm that it was actually
that was
Kodak.
Right.
I will say the tea I got.
Ooh.
Was that it wasn't...
I don't think it was... go ahead.
So I don't even know if I can share this tea, but it's whatever. It's old now. I actually heard it was Wayne.
Wow.
Yeah. From someone that knows him.
Dang.
So I don't think it was Kodak. And mind you, Kodak came out and was like, hey, man, I don't know why y'all keep tagging me. That wasn't me. But a hit dog will holler as well, so I don't know. But my tea said that it was actually Wayne that did that, which is crazy. And... it was allegedly. I don't know. This is alleged. But I do want to play this clip because I think we also heard Rick Ross say it, which Rick Ross is, I believe, also a feature, if I'm not mistaken, on the album, possibly.
Let me
I don't know.
Let me bring her
say what?
Well, Ross said that there was a reason why he's never signed a female artist because he feels as though he would have to have a relationship with her type of shit.
That he wouldn't have any self-control and want to smash.
Let me play this clip. This is actually Kodak Black. Mm-hmm. Literally within the week, the same week, on The Breakfast Club. And this is what Kodak had to say.
Expect them girls to give you something just because you're doing music with them, Kodak.
That's, so why you expect... So why you expect... Just do music with me.
Just like you do because music with other people, with other artists. Women are artists, too. You have a female artist, right, signed to you? Is it Mellow Rock signed to you?
BBS is signed to me.
Okay. All right. And so wouldn't you want other men to work with her and be okay with that?
Yeah, it depends on like how y'all vibing.
How y'all vibing?
You got to be careful. You got to be careful.
Look, my female artists is just how it is, right? Because I shit like that. I got a bus. Like, they ain't gonna be my girlfriend. But, like, I'm a bussum, you
hear? No.
Very clear.
I'm a bussum. Not that they gotta be my girlfriend.
Just no choice. It's like, that's just what it is, huh? You're like, gonna bussum.
I'm finna bussum, and they ain't gotta be my girlfriend or nothing. And it's crazy because Angela Yee followed up with, like, women are artists too. Like, if you do a song, like, I guarantee you, you didn't bust.
Exactly. None of these niggas that you worked with.
Who the motherfucker? Who? The nigga who, like, look Arab, but he not.
French Montana.
French Montana, bitch.
I mean, he is, though.
He is, though, right?
He's Moroccan, yeah.
There we go. But Arab ain't Moroccan.
Yeah, it can be.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. But he don't speak Arabic, does he?
Yes, he does.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he does speak. There's a lot of people in Morocco speak
I need
Arabic.
Him to rap in Arabic, bitch.
Yeah.
I think that would just be
Arabic. I want to hear it.
Arabic was his first language.
Okay, well, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. And I love the song that they have together.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you he ain't bust down French.
No. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Always baffled at the ability to say that out loud in an interview.
Like, you know what though? I'm grateful every single time one of these niggas say some dumb shit like that, because then it gives us the opportunity to be like, see?
Right.
See?
Because, you know, for the most part, like, I mean, I've heard that shit throughout my entire career. Like, I know, you know, like, from not just artists, executives, like managers, like I've literally heard someone be like, you know, in order for me to control my artist, I need to fuck her. It's like, ew.
What type of shit?
What kind of
why do you need to control your artist? What kind of...
Well, but did you hear him when he was like, you know, well, what do you think about her collabing? And it's that territorial, I don't want her to work with nobody. She's mine.
Ugh.
Is what that is. It's like, she's mine. Like, it's the... I don't know, like your property or some shit.
How do you steer clear of that? I mean, Bridget, I know you say that
It was the grace of God, really, that had me covered, that a lot of people were afraid to try me because of who I was around. A lot of creatives did. There were a couple execs who would make little comments here and there, but I have a smart ass mouth, so it's not going over easily. There's a couple people that have said it, and I'm like, you sure you want to go that route? Like, you really want to? I don't know if you want to do this with me, because I'll embarrass you.
No.
I'll embarrass you. I will light your ass up. I'll embarrass you. And that really set the tone for how I was handled going forward. But also, again, I still had the protection of the people of the label that I was a part of. So
yeah, because people didn't want to piss them off. No, too. It was like, but if you don't have that,
I mean, but it's,
and most people
do not have that.
And
shit.
And it's crazy because we're seeing people still not believe Meg, despite everything that happened,
which is ridiculous.
Everyone's saying,
but it's because the reason why is because the moment that shit is true, a lot of niggas is in trouble,
right?
The reason why, like I was looking at the comments because I reposted that Kodak video, and it's so funny because, like, I know a lot of niggas that think like that. I know I've seen a lot of terrible shit in the music business, right? And so it's like, it's funny watching the discussion happen and watch all of these niggas just look a little nervous. Like, yeah, bitch, you should be nervous. You should be, because that shit's not acceptable anymore.
It's not.
There's no reason why Latto should be having to deal with that while she's trying to clear her fucking record. Like,
right.
She should be able to do her record and be fine and take up space and walk in the room. And, like, the whole concept of, like, men not being able to control themselves is such bullshit. It's bullshit, because you can control yourself when the cops pull up to your black ass. You can control yourself when everything else. You can control yourself with everything else,
but women.
But it's because you don't have to,
right?
Because it's allowed to. You're allowed to. This country disrespects the fuck out of women.
Yeah.
So it's not most of the men that I saw in the comments for the Kodak Black video were like, you know, the guys were like, well, are y'all surprised? Like, y'all acting like, you know what I mean? Like, or
like, we should just put up with it.
Well, because it's normalized.
Yeah, because it's regular.
It's regular.
It's regular. And then so, like, and I think for the guys that do that, the people who do that, because I'm not going to say it's men, because there's predators who are women as well,
100%.
Right? The people who do that, I mean, they not going to say shit. Because like I said, then they're found out. But Kodak is giving me the energy that, like, if you don't want to, he's going to take.
Do you see what the fuck you look like? Oh, and he's taking it. He's going to charge.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm going to bust him. It's like, it's not a choice. Ugh. And that's the part where it's like, you know, like.
And the song that they have together on her album, by the way, is called Bust Down. To make matters, increasingly gross.
Wait. Bust Down, but like a jewelry, right?
I would assume
so. Like a
bust
down?
I would assume so. I would hope so. I would hope so, because we know what the other bust down is, and it's not the chain.
You right.
Well, and the thing is of course, whether he did it or not, the way that he carries himself is the reason why he's being accused of that. It's like him being like, why is everybody like, nigga, you just went on Breakfast Club and said.
You said that.
And said that.
Right.
On top of having charges, on
but
top
also
of.
It just, right. But it also sounds crass when even the response was like, that mulatto girl, first of all.
Like she's nobody.
Right. Also,
they
like,
love to shrink us.
Like,
they
like do. You don't have, like, she didn't, they love she didn't to try name to shrink you. Us. She didn't even name you. She didn't confirm. She didn't name you. She didn't say nothing at all. She didn't throw no shade. She didn't give no side eye to nobody in the room.
But he probably wants to, and she probably didn't let him, or she probably didn't give him no attention. Yeah. And so it's the like, oh, you're not into me because I'm me. Like,
what?
She's her.
She's right. her.
Which is,
right.
which is what I said. Mean? I was like, Lotto don't actually, she could do a whole album with no features and we would listen
and
to it.
And it would be
and
fine.
It would be great.
And it would be fine. She deserves to.
That's right.
She doesn't, every woman deserves to walk into fucking work. Because here's the problem with the music business, right? Is because it's vibey and everybody in the studio drinking and smoking and doing whatever other right. drugs they want to do. And it's late and it's all these things.
That's why I like to work in the daytime.
Yeah, because.
It's true. I would love to be. I would go in the studio same. At noon. We're going to start at noon.
Really?
Yes.
I want to start at noon.
Because it's those nights. It be them late sessions that get tricky as fuck.
Absolutely.
I done seen the craziest shit. In
I mean, because them booty call hours. You know what I mean?
But what I'm saying is that's the culture of the business.
It is.
And the assumption is that past a certain hour, because you're in this creative,
you're with the shit.
Ethereal space, that you're just down for
you're
whatever because
like,
you're in the environment. That's the assumption.
It's like, I don't do coke.
And you're
you
like,
get what
how?
I'm saying?
How? It's 2 like, a.m. Like, we're in the studio.
You know what, I mean?
What are you talking about?
I've been in so many situations where I'm like, I'm not the person you could peer pressure. Like, if I'm going to do it, I'm doing it. If
right.
I'm not, I'm not,
same.
Right? Drugs is not my shit. I have really bad anxiety. And so the idea of doing any of that shit, I'm like, my heart is going to beat out my chest.
Yep.
Like, I don't got time
That's
for that.
How I feel about edibles now. That's why I love this. Shrooms
I can't do edibles.
Shrooms is nice.
I'm still scared to
nice.
Try shrooms.
Nice.
I haven't tried shrooms yet.
Shrooms is nice.
No, we did. We did
no pressure. But we
I'm a bit of a control freak. And I think the concept of drugs is just like, this shit could go anywhere. But it's so weird when people do drugs around you, though.
Yeah.
Like, just... regular like it's and you know you're just kind of sitting in the corner like what the fuck.
Well, because it's the kind of environment where everything goes.
Yes.
And the problem with that is right, the problem with being around creatives around that time when they create a no judgment zone that's supposed to apply to all things, even if it makes people uncomfortable.
And that's what it's so
and it's problematic.
It's problematic.
It's
and
really
then,
problematic.
And then they make it worse, right? They hit you with the, please sign this NDA before you come into the studio with me so I can do all kind of crazy shit to you and you can't tell anyone about it. And if you do, I'll fucking sue you. Yeah. I can't tell you how many NDAs I've signed before working with art. If you're working with an elite artist,
wow,
you're not walking in the room without signing an NDA.
So the NDA would keep you from being able to
say
anybody?
Anything,
wait,
do
seriously?
Anything. Yeah. If some shit goes down... Before I walk in here, I mean, after I walk in here, after I've signed that shit, I can't speak to nobody about that shit.
Wow.
So the reason why, like...
Even if you're violated.
And here's the thing. Even if that's not true, right? You've got the fear around, I've signed a contract.
Yeah.
They're bigger than me.
Yep.
They're threatening me.
Mm.
If you do this, I'll, you know,
yep.
whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, or I'll take this opportunity. Like, I know somebody who was sexually assaulted in the music business, who are they called an offender? Is that what it's
yeah.
called? The offender is behind bars now, thank God. But it was the same kind of thing, that same thought process as Kodak, where it was like, I'm going to use, because I'm me,
right,
and I'm the way to getting on these artists, this is what it is. I'm going to rape you.
That's wild.
And that just is, right? So whether it be, you know, I think that rape is so complicated because it I think a lot of people think that means violence, right? Like you getting beat up and you getting, nah, like sometimes, you know, it's somebody getting pressured and pressured and pressured and pressured. And you're like,
coercion,
I don't want to, I don't want to, I don't want to. Fine, I just said yes because he won't let it go. Or because I'm scared and I don't know what's going to happen or, you know, whatever. And the music business has this thing where it's like, well, if you don't do this, like I've been in this situation, like dream opportunity, dream. I'm like, oh my God, I could taste it. I'm here. Everyone's like, oh my God, this, she's fucking amazing. Why is she not working with so-and-so? Because I didn't fuck.
Damn.
You got a man? Yes. Done.
Wow.
Soon as I was not available, they stopped calling me. They stopped. It went from being right there to it all disappearing because I wouldn't go to dinner. Mm. It was like, yo, you know, when everybody left the room, I'll never forget that shit. Everybody left the room and this executive was like, yeah, you got a man? And I was just like, yeah. And I don't know. I could just see him trying to like talk me into doing dinner and all of that shit anyway. You know how niggas is like, fuck your man. Let me be your man. Don't let you have friends. That
right.
Whole
that bullshit.
Right.
Y'all got to stop doing that.
The answer is no.
The answer is no.
My man does not let me have friends.
And even if he does.
Not like that. Because my friends, this is not friend shit.
It's not. No.
Well, and also I'm at work.
Right. Right.
I'm at work, and if we were in corporate America, if you did this shit and we worked at school, yep. I have an HR department and I have all kind of, that's why I created the 100%ers because it's like I didn't have anywhere to go for all the fucking crazy ass shit that has gone on in my life and around my life.
Right. Right.
To my friends, to my colleagues, peers, whoever. And I think that because of the vibiness and the sex, drugs, rock and roll culture, the nature of the business, it blurs those lines and has me sitting in a studio with the dream opportunity and him feeling like it's okay because it's always been okay. That's why Kodak is like, yeah, I gotta bust him. He didn't get that shit from nowhere.
Right.
I'm sure his big homies, the people that he's around,
yep.
That's always been okay. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's unfortunate, but I'm excited because, look, people are fucking talking now.
Right.
And that creates a whole different
It really
situation.
Does.
It's a different day.
But also, I mean, people tell on themselves.
Yeah, they do.
Clearly.
And people tell on themselves. And so even if it wasn't him in this scenario or situation, now it's known that you are about that action. That's the type of time you're on.
Right.
So that lets other female artists know, like, nah, I'm good. Now I know what's up. I'm totally straight. I have no interest in smashing somebody that looks like
that's
Oscar the Grouch.
So ashamed,
just don't want
though,
to do that for the sake of working with you. No.
But it's a shame because then, like, when I think about how many spaces I've alienated myself from because of that. Like,
wow.
There's so many opportunities I did not take because of who else was in the room because I didn't feel safe. And that's some fucking bullshit.
Mm.
If I can't imagine where I would be in my career if I was able to safely walk in every room that the opportunities were presented to me. Like, there's absolutely no reason why I should, like, even just, like, just being out in the world. You get out your car as a woman, you looking around different than a man would because...
Yeah.
And I don't remember...
You're a target.
Yes.
And I think that even folds into the conversation that we had. I saw people disagreeing with the desirability politics when we were discussing with Blue.
I was listening to that one.
And there
were
a lot of men in the comments, specifically black men, feeling as though they didn't hold a privilege. And what are y'all talking about?
Dogs will holler, like you said.
And the fact that even you're saying you have the privilege or men have the privilege of just walking into the room and not feel unsafe.
Well,
like,
yeah.
Especially in a room with other men. Now, we're not talking about police officers here. We're not talking about, of course, there's a lot.
No one's trying to rape you.
You know what I mean?
And if they are, right? Because the thing is men go through this shit
they
too.
They do, as younger, much younger.
Well, and no. There's men that go through it in the industry, or not even just in the industry, but just in life, right?
Right.
But men deal with men different than men deal with women.
That's correct.
And so it's not the same thing. It's not, on top of the fact that the numbers speak for themselves. We're right. the ones that are the most preyed on, and we're not preying on each other. It's right. them that are preying on us. So it's like
the people that go missing for the most part in our community are women.
Are women,
and they're not found.
But not
they're
only not, that, the
they're not invested. A lot of them are not investigated. A lot of them are just chalked up to, well, it just, I mean,
especially
shit happens.
If it's a woman of color.
Absolutely.
Like, and there's
not us even talking about the feeling safe in an Uber when it's a woman driver.
Oh, like, I don't even take Ubers.
Really?
No. And if I do, I always order a black car. Or like the trucks, I spend my money because I can hold you accountable if some shit happens to me. Mm. Same thing with Airbnb. I don't stay in Airbnbs. I spend my money on hotels because I can sue a hotel.
Right.
Trying to individually.
That's some, yep.
Right. Nah, I don't do that
what's
shit.
What's the difference with the Uber XL or Uber Black then?
Well, they're the trucks that have like the code on the back of the car are like licensed to drive.
Right.
They're just more professional. They're more, you know what I'm saying? And honestly, like, I've had incidents with an Uber driver pulled a knife on me before. An Uber driver tried to kidnap one of my friends a couple months ago in LA.
See,
she had to
that.
Jump out the moving car. Uber didn't even call her back. Shame
wow.
on
Uber.
Yeah, it's fucked
Come
up.
Come on, Uber.
Come on,
get
Uber.
It together.
But yeah, right. like
I mean, but that's the thing too, right? With all of these different businesses now, where none of their assets are like the cars aren't their assets.
That's
the
what
drivers
I'm saying.
Are, like,
so they don't have
it's all independent contractors,
exactly.
and they remove liability.
Yes.
by having all of these independent contractors.
And I don't like that. If
I feel you.
If my life is gonna be in someone's vehicle,
I feel you.
If somebody's gonna be driving around with me. I need to be able to call some, like watching what my friend went through with Uber. I'm like, hell no. Hell. I mean, I would be outside of Uber's office fucking
same.
2, 4, 6, 8 too. Every fucking day until they call me. But you shouldn't have to do that. And
right.
so my thing is, and that just comes from, I mean, shout out to being able to afford
right.
to do that. But it's like, that's the only option for me. Like, I'm not, because I don't feel safe.
Mm.
Like, when I walk outside of the house, I do not feel safe 24/7.
Yeah, and that's a level of anxiety and a place to be that, again, I don't think most people even envision that that's what women go through.
But that's
you know
also,
what I mean?
But that's also the privilege of being a man.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what color you are. As a man, even a black man, the threats against your life and against your existence are different.
Yes.
And
yeah,
it's not to minimize those.
It's not.
We're not minimizing those by amplifying what we're saying about black women and women of color. What we're saying is, ultimately, the privilege of being a man is never having to feel like at any second there are several mm-hmm. different there are several different elements in this world that want to violate
yep.
you.
And take
violate
from you.
And take mm-hmm. from
yes.
you.
Yes.
It's very different when you think about even being a man and having to prove yourself as a man. A lot of those things are centered around being strong or having money and being successful and being smart. As a woman, we don't have any of those criteria or qualifications
yep.
that put us above any other women when it comes to the potential of being violated. Every woman is
oh, fair, yeah,
game,
fair game.
Every
no
woman
matter
is
who
equal
it is.
On that playing field. So there's no hierarchy of women that are more vulnerable. All women are vulnerable.
And no yeah. one believes you.
Right.
So the scariest part is then if something does happen, nothing's gonna fucking happen.
Right.
Mm.
So then you go to the cops, you do all this stuff, and you're going through all of this and no one is listening. And or what were you wearing? What did you do? Like, I don't even, like, this, I hate that I even feel like this, but it's just my truth. Like, I don't wear revealing clothes like that anymore.
Oh, I mean, I was going to get into that.
Because I don't feel safe to do it.
Living in New York, walking around, right? I'm from Florida, so when it's hot, I wear shorts.
Yeah.
I don't wear shorts as often in New York.
And you should be allowed to,
yeah,
is my thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fucked up that to feel like there's so many things you can't do because somebody else can't control themselves.
Right.
That's the part of it that gets
right.
on my nerves. It's
right.
like,
oh, but then also we're made to feel like, damn, what did we do to deserve it? You know what
yes.
I mean? There's even the way that we, I mean, work through when that does happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, damn, what could we have done differently instead of really just looking at the person who committed the fucking crime?
I mean, the last time, it's a shame. The last time I was harassed.
Jesus.
The last time I was harassed, it was over my breasts, right? I got big boobs. Whatever. And the conversation and the whole thing around it, like, I just was like, dang, like, when do I get to just be, like, right. It's hot. I got on this shirt because it's fucking hot. That's it. I'm sitting here and it's hot. I'm not sitting here like, yeah, I'm trying to, you know, get some attention. I'm not seeking attention. I'm not.
They be thinking it's for them.
Well, and the thing is it's like, it's because of the weather. It's because of the, like I said, I don't dress, I don't dress revealing anyway, just naturally, right? So, like, even if I did have on a low-cut shirt, it's not that low, right? It's just that I got big boobs, so you could see my boobs. It's just like if a woman had a big booty. It's like, you could see her booty, but...
Whether it's a baggy pant or a tight pant.
Yeah, but you ain't saying shit to your mama when she walked by you with her big booty or her big titties. You got control then.
Right.
You got control when you around. You got control
your
any
mama,
other
time. Right.
Yeah, but your aunties, you got control any other time except for
women
this.
You don't know.
When it's like, it don't matter.
By the way, I did want to say, and we'll probably put a trigger warning for this, but April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Yep.
So in terms of having this conversation, be sure to check the description of this episode specifically. We'll be putting the National Sexual Assault Hotline on here. It is available 24 hours. They have a live chat, an official site that you can look into resources in your areas as well. And I mean, with the Me Too movement, I hate that conversations like these to many people sound like broken records, but I still don't think that we've completely even began to crack the real issues or ways in which to, not only in the music industry,
just in general,
you know what I mean? With who's to blame and how we can really change the path in what women have to deal with moving forward. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think it's going to take both sides either wanting to or women just having more leverage. Because the thing is men have to want to, and they don't want to.
They don't want to change.
They
want
to do all of this shit.
They do.
This is how it's been.
Yeah. Or they at least want to have the option.
Yes.
Even if they're not a part of it, which you know, that goes to, you know, the level of complicit men that have participated in this conversation.
Man.
Well, because even, I mean, and we wanted to get into TV with you as well. And there's a couple documentaries that are out now that are also very triggering. And they do discuss, you know, they discuss and interview a lot of people that have been bystanders and witnesses to a lot of abuse of power. I don't even just want to say of women, because I think I don't want to minimize the abuse that takes place behind the scenes that happens to men as well. But just the abuse of power of being in a space, right?
Yep.
And one of them was the Bill Cosby documentary.
Spoiler
which,
alert, if you haven't seen it yet. it's
heavy, but it's
heavy.
It is good.
It's heavy and it's good, and I guess like,
and thought provoking.
Well, and this is, and that's the part about it that I liked. And because we've clearly had a lot of the conversations surrounding R. Kelly, right?
Yes.
When Surviving R. Kelly came out, the conversation was, of course, separating the artist from the man,
right?
Or separating the artist from the art.
And shout out to Dream Hampton for being so eloquent and expressive and landing all of those points around those women so beautifully.
Yeah.
If you don't know who Dream Hampton is, please do your Google. She is a pioneer of hip hop, a pioneer of black culture, a pioneer of women. She's phenomenal. But yes.
And in the Bill Cosby doc, which was interesting, they decided to shoot it in a way where you have the victims.
Yep.
And they'll share their stories. But literally the scene right after discusses what Bill Cosby has done in terms of the landscape of comedy. I learned that he was the first person to actually hire an actual black man as a stunt double because what they were doing in film was literally blackface, but white men were still getting the roles for stunt doubles.
Yep.
So the fact that he was advocating for black men to have those positions, the comedy album, they talked about that, what he did in terms of the Bill Cosby show and showcasing black men this way. It was just phenomenal in the way they shot it, but also you start to see there was someone else who was currently shooting a doc right before all of the allegations came out. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I was so proud of being a part of this project. And he was so nice to me. Right. So it was almost like, how could he really do that to someone else?
Yeah.
And I think that that's where we put ourselves too, when people are not even convicted, but just accused
yeah.
of certain crimes, when you have a personal relationship with
yeah.
them, you almost are blinded with the fact that they could treat someone else in this manner. I wanted to know your thoughts on having experienced this and, mm-hmm. And being a sexual assault survivor. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to keep calling everyone victims.
Right. Survivors.
But survivor. What were your thoughts on that documentary, especially seeing that it stemmed around the power that he had in the industry?
I mean, I just thought, there it is. Like,
in your face.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like, it's just like, I mean, I understand from both sides, right? Because, like, I haven't always been loud. There's been a lot that I've stood by for, too, right? Out of so many reasons, whether it be fear, whether it be... you know,
intimidation
or, you know, I'm broke. I don't have the money. Like, I need this job to, you know, whatever,
right.
whatever, you know, like there's a range of reasons why people turn the blind eye. Right. Mm. But I think that like where I think you just have to make a decision about, because like how they say the whole, like, you know, is it all things come to light or whatever, things that are done in the dark come to light or whatever. Yeah. So you have to make your peace with however you showed up in that situation, right. You have to be okay with.
Right.
Mm.
So how people feel about your silence is what you got to deal with. Right. So if some shit came out and, you know, it's like, oh, was Tiffany there? Why didn't you say anything? I have to own that on right. why I didn't say anything, yeah. whatever my why is. Right. And I think that a lot of people have a lot of whys. I think a lot of people around are also victims.
Mm.
And I think that people are, this is the way it's always been. Like, I think one of the things that really was wild to me that I feel like I don't understand why people continue to miss this is that people hide in plain sight.
All the time.
So he was hot. He was saying, like, listening to anytime that he was talking about drugging people.
Bro, the Spanish fly shit.
Oh, my
there
God.
Were jokes.
But did you see his face, though?
Bro.
He looked so into it. He, like, just was so passionate about it. Yes.
He loved it.
He tells on it. Even the thing with the barbecue sauce with the on the Cosby Show, when he was like, you notice when you have my with dad's special sauce, here's makes you look kissy.
But here's the thing, right? And I love that they interviewed a white man talking who has used every drug in the book, right? I don't even remember what his title was, but he was experienced with knowing all of the drugs and having tried all of the drugs.
And what happens when you take them.
And explaining when you take them, the side effects and all of that. But also explaining...
What an interesting job.
But
right?
also explaining the law and the legal terms around the situation. And back then in the 70s and the 80s, I don't think the law was actually amended until the 90s, around consent, was that if you participated in a party willingly, then you also were participating and consenting to whatever decisions and behavior, even if there's no yeah. real gauge of whether or not you're under the influence enough to not give consent. So the consent rule applied to if you participate in taking drugs, then you are consenting to participating in whatever happens
around
that.
But the problem was
he was drugging it. A lot of women consented to taking the drug and having a good time.
They did.
So in
some
those,
of the women did.
A lot of the women that they interviewed did, which is also why it was such a powerful, even more of an
abuse
of power.
He would be like,
power.
Take this. Because, and they would take
because
it.
Because it was very, like you said, hiding in plain sight. It's like, well, if he's offering it to me, then he can't mean me harm. If he means me harm, he would do it without me knowing. So if he's offering it to me, then he really wants us to be on the same level of
party.
Having a good time.
Yeah.
So it's even more of an abuse of power in that sense, because you're looking at it like, yo, he probably understood the law so well in yep. that space that, like, there's no legal prosecution that can come against him in that space.
Or it's just it's pressure, classic peer pressure. Here, take this. It's Bill Cosby.
Right.
What you going to do? People feel like, what are you going to do? Say no to Bill Cosby?
But
yeah.
There are also things that disappear in your drink. So he could have said nothing. And I think the fact that he made it a point to verbally offer it also lends itself to the idea that he knew what the fuck he was doing.
Oh, absolutely.
So
he
then
knew.
It's like, you knew that if she wakes
he
up
knew.
The next day, she's going to feel even more guilty because she willingly participated in the
yes.
drugs because she said
I'm
yes.
I'm not going to lie. That was, and trigger
and
warning
so
if
many
you watch
of those
it.
Women, so many many that of those women said that.
That was the hardest part. That was the hardest part.
Can I even
say that? Can I be mad?
I agreed to take the drugs.
I know I was violated.
Yes.
And that was the hardest part. Seeing grown women well into their 40s, 50s, still you could see questioning if they were violated, and now that they know what it is, because we're having these types of conversations.
So confusing.
It is.
I've gone through that. Like, I didn't realize how much I had gone through until I left Los Angeles. Like, so I left LA and like pure, like, I don't know. I felt like I was in a panic, low key. Like, I was.
It was there. It was a panic.
I was like, I didn't pack my house. I packed my bags and I was like, bye. And like I lost my train of thought. What was the thing that you said before that?
Just being confused as to.
Oh, so when I left LA and I moved back to the East, like, and I started to like unravel. I didn't know what the fuck was wrong with me. I think I was having like a nervous breakdown for real. I had like this whole thing where I blacked out, all kind of, it was crazy. And I was working in therapy all at the same time, doing a lot of journaling.
Shout out to Sabrina.
Hey, Sabrina.
We all have the same therapist.
Shout out to our therapist. Shout out to our therapist.
Hey, yes. Sarita. We love you. So I was working with Sarita, and it took me a long time to realize what I had been through. Mm. I think that, like, because you just compartmentalize shit, right? Especially if it's confusing like that, right? If it's not violent,
yep, right.
Then it's like, what was that? I don't know what that was, so I'm going to put that away because I have work tomorrow.
Yep.
Right? And then eventually the shit just comes, it catches up with you. That's what happened with me. It caught up with me, you know? But like, I think, one, it takes you a really long time to process trauma in the first place, but also like sexual violence and manipulation, like
that's a whole nother cup of tea.
And I think the manipulation part of it has, as we've seen it anyway, has been even more traumatic than some of the quote unquote violent experiences that we've seen. Because a lot of scenarios, a lot of the situations that we heard about being when we were younger were around like strangers following you home and violating
it'd
you.
It'd be the people, or,
the people you know.
The people you know.
Right. We were not, but so the manipulation underneath all of that was never really addressed. Like you said, it was always just the violence of it, the violence of the physical act of it versus the level of like comfort that you might have had with a person, or the violation of the trust based on the fact that it is somebody
does anything about it. Think about like the creepy uncle in the family. They don't kick that uncle out. They say stay away from him. Why the fuck you got kids around a creepy man or a woman or anyone?
Right. Yeah. Why is he allowed around?
Woman, why is it the child's responsibility
to stay away from the adult?
Yes. Kids gonna be kids, and people are gonna take advantage of what they take advantage of. I just feel like there's not enough accountability around all of it.
Oh yeah,
100%. But it's because the patriarchy is what runs everything.
Yeah,
and most of the people are doing this is men.
Yeah,
so they go and protect it as long as they can because most of them, or a lot of them, are perpetrators.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yikes!
We bringing us back. Bring us back.
Make sure y'all check that out. Hey. What is that? That's on HBO Max, right?
Showtime.
Yeah. Showtime.
Yeah, that show was crazy.
It's Showtime.
Hey.
Bridget, it's about that time.
It is. It's time for a freshly squeezed. Yeah,
baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, because you are the artist that you are.
Oh, Lord.
We got to get into some of this discography here because you, first of all, we've done some records together that I love.
We finna play them.
We can.
Which one?
We can. I did one with you or for your project called I Used To.
Yeah.
Which was really powerful. And that was great because that was about a friend that used to be our friend.
Oh.
Oh.
She's not our friend no more.
Was
it made for friendship, or can it also lead for relationships?
I
think it could be for relationships too. I think it's really just about the loss of someone that you used to love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww, we getting into it?
We gonna
get
into it.
That was such a sweet friend moment we had.
It was.
We were sad and we wrote a song about it.
Yeah. And Breezy. Shout out to Breezy.
Breezy!
That's the rapper?
Yeah.
the pipe be good. I knock it down, stain you up.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Remember back then when we barely had shit and it was easy.
Yeah.
Aww.
Day ones, man. Yeah. Man.
When you come in, Bridget, I want to hear you, girl.
Oh, I'm coming. About to come in.
I'm coming all right, in. All right. I'm coming in. Damn, I miss this girl sometimes. I'm not going to hold you. The song of the girl we wrote this about?
I know. Me too. That's why I just said damn.
Yeah, it's just like, I just, it is. I just hope you good.
Yeah.
Lately, I've been thinking I should try my luck and hit your line.
Oh.
Then I say, fuck it, thinking back to all the times you played me. But you should pay me. And after 5 years, still ain't got no sorry. And you ain't even happy. No, we
could have
ended things better. Just know that I used to.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's so crazy because what keeps you from just mending a friendship with somebody? Like,
ego.
I mean, I reached out.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have
never,
that?
She never responded?
Mm-mm.
Really?
Nah.
It's weird because, like,
she got a pretty big ego, though.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't surprised that she didn't respond.
I mean, like, I have someone right now, right? We had such a great friendship.
Mm.
And she's doing such great things right now that I'm so mad that I can't be there to be her cheerleader. But last year, she just didn't show up for me in a way that I really needed her to.
Mm.
And she never reached out. But of course, we have mutual friends. So I'm hearing, she miss you. I'm like, no, she don't. She ain't reach out to me. She ain't come speak to me. She ain't hit me. And so maybe it's that ego that y'all even talking about.
Oh,
because it's just
ego.
Like,
it's ego.
But here's
pride,
the thing too, right? Here's the thing
that.
Too. The reason why we not even fucking with each other and why she actually even showed up the way she did the last time we did speak was based on a lie that another friend went and told her. And when I checked the friend, I said, oh, so you're the reason we're not friends right now. And literally checked her on what was said. And I was like, well, you need to clean that up, which means both of y'all owe me an apology.
Right.
But you literally got her moving a different way because you out here, like, playing a game of telephone and putting my name in shit that it shouldn't even be in.
Yeah.
But in listening to that song, it brought me back to that one specific person because we really fell out because she chose to start showing up differently based on something someone else said without even just
being
a friend.
Clearing it with
and
you.
So now, like, I'm seeing all her wins and I'm so happy for her. And I'm just like, damn, this is what I was, like, lifting you up for. Like, I was always her cheerleader and wanting her to, like, flourish in this space. And now that she is, I'm just like, damn, I wish I could be here to celebrate your wins for you because I really saw that for you. And now I'm just, we don't.
I don't think we talk about the weight of a friendship heartbreak enough.
Ugh.
We don't. And especially as women, right? Because I think for women, it takes a lot for us to establish a real sisterhood.
Yeah.
It takes a lot. I mean, as much as, and I'm, y'all know I'm a kumbaya ass bitch. I love everybody to be together, everybody friends. But even on a, like, that's usually on a surface level. I just want everybody to get along. I don't expect everybody to have the same level of camaraderie and connection that I have with everybody, right?
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, I be telling her, bitch, I ain't that nice.
She's so nice.
She's so nice.
Forgiving.
I'm working on it.
Like, girl,
I'm working on it.
She's so.
I'm glad. Thank you.
I am working on it. I am working on it. Mandy checks me on it a lot. She's like, why are you being so nice?
You can go say hi to them. I'm over here.
Right.
Let me know when you come back.
Queen.
Yeah. You know, I really am the
You're forgiveness queen. You let people give.
I am, but
which
I think,
is dope though. I learned a lot from you from that. Go ahead.
Thank you. But I really with this particular situation, it was so painful, and I remember like it actually. We were all friends, and it actually brought Tiffany and I a lot closer together.
Mm.
And you know, and another woman that became friends with us too kind of spawned this like really cool friendship moment for us in all of our healing, right? And in us all helping each other heal from that. But I realized how devastating that loss was. It was such a loss for me. And you almost feel silly mourning over it and grieving it the way that you would a relationship, because you're like, well, damn, it wasn't even like my man. It was my friend, but like,
somebody who meant a lot to you.
Someone who really was around for so many different things. And especially as an adult woman, right? It's not easy for us just make friends and real solid connections with people. And then when we do and we lose that, it's just a chunk of your heart being taken out.
I mean, grief is one of just those feelings and emotions that there's no way to tell you how to work through it, how to handle it.
Right.
Because, I mean, we talk about grief in terms of losing people, like actually people
dying.
But there's not enough, you're right, conversations regarding the grief of a relationship, the grief of a friendship.
Just people leaving your life.
Even the grief of a job. I mean, to be fair, and I quit by choice when I left my career, and I felt like a huge chunk of me lost.
Because it's just changed.
Even in leaving my job, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that the devastating, I mean, I felt that way even leaving the label. I was just like, it's a divorce. We're getting divorced. I don't know what I'm going to be. Who am I going to be after this?
Because I feel like our identities get tied up in shit too. Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like with friendships, like if you're like with us, we were in like a friend group, right? Right, yeah. So it's like, you know, when you got a friend group, and we was in LA hella clicky.
Yeah,
so it was
we were a clique.
We were a clique. So for the clique to
disband.
Not disband.
The crew broke up.
Yeah, the crew broke up and you know, I think that part of it, when as far as it like being tied to your identity as well, where it's like, you know, now, like around that time, people used to always be like, yo, where's so-and-so at? You know what I'm saying? People are just, you're, when they see you, they think of that person too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, y'all was too big, you know,
too
dang,
y'all, on a pot.
Y'all not cool no more, dang, you ain't, all that shit. You know what I mean? So I feel like a lot of stuff.
Which is painful. It picks the scab.
It does. It does.
Because they do it in relationships
what
too.
What other song like, you got for us?
What other song we got from Tiff? One of my personal favorites, and Tiff thinks this is your biggest. You think this is your biggest, but this is one that's like, Mandy, you can relate to this.
Man, this is my most toxic record.
It could be. No.
Oh, it could be. It's about anal sex.
No. It's about any sex.
It's about any sex.
Ooh. Don't fuck me that good if you don't want me falling in love. Hope I won't, but the way that you feel. Know that we'd be all in our zone. We'd be gone like the weed that we smoke. We'd be on, just don't fuck me that good. Don't fuck me that good. Cause I'll be all up in the kitchen learning how to make them biscuits that you say you always missing that your auntie made back in the day.
Cooking for him.
Girl, you know what dish I do? Well, I used to do for my ex? He loved my shrimp and grits, bitch. It wasn't biscuits, but it was shrimp and grits. Hello, country ass. I made them things good. Mm-hmm. Even chopped up the onion. Got brought out the sofrito, bitch. That thing was good.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I know that we be all in our zone. We be gone like the weed that we smoke.
Oh, dick so good that you cooking, you making biscuits like the ones his auntie used to make.
That's good. That's the only type of dick I want. If I don't want to cook for you after, I don't want it again.
You want the fall in love dick?
I do. Actually now, and I think that's my problem.
Oh.
Like now that I'm dating, I'm just like, yep, let me just go back to what I know because I don't want to waste my time. I don't want bad dick. I don't, like, and now.
You don't even want to have to try.
Bro, I don't even.
So what? So you just go back to...
Girl, we friends. With benefits now.
I know.
Because that ain't my nigga. I'm single. So don't... Fix
it's
your face.
So bad. No.
Fix your face. Bridget, they see you. Bridget, they can see you. Bridget, they can... We're friends. We're just friends.
All right.
With benefits. Literally, like, you know, you're friends, our friend with benefits.
I mean, listen, I don't think there's anything...
It's complicated.
You know, if I was on Facebook...
It's just complicated.
But no, it's not, because when I open myself and actually find the time to date, I'm not telling anyone I have anyone. Like, I have someone that, cool, sexually, we making it, is rocking.
Yeah.
But y'all love each other, though.
I mean, you can still have love for someone and not be with them.
But do you still have feelings for him?
Yes.
I mean,
like, is that what's also coming in the room?
Yes.
Because I feel like that also be what be making that so good.
There is love in that pussy for that man.
Yeah, nah, that's complicated. You can't.
It's complicated. That's why
you can't do that?
That's what that was about.
It's complicated, though. Y'all not friends. It's just complicated.
No, we just friends. And I told him, too. I was honest. I said, listen.
Do y'all say I love you?
No. No, my heart is now open for someone who can show up for me the way I need them to. Okay. And I let him know as soon as someone does that for me.
I'm out. It's been fun.
I will.
Is he okay with that?
You will know. He ain't got no choice.
Where is he coming from though? Like, what's his? What does
it
he
don't
want?
Matter until you can show up how I need you to show up. There ain't no competition. There ain't no conversation.
Yeah.
To be had. This is where you're at.
But he want to be with you? Does he?
Oh, we've. I mean, he says this is gonna be hard.
Because what I'm saying is, like, friends with benefits.
He got some other shit he got to do before we even take it there.
But see, here's where that kind of shit get tricky. Because if y'all both not showing up the same, that's why I feel like friends with. If one person is like, "Nah, we just fucking," and then the other person's like, "Yeah, we fucking, but I also still have feelings a little bit."
You
maybe
can have
we could...
feelings, but until you can show up differently, I'm not someone that you have to guess. You know what I mean?
That's what makes it complicated, right?
But I'm telling you how I need you to show up.
What makes it too much for you? What makes it complicated is that there is an open window for him to show up that way. And then what if he does?
Then what?
And then,
I mean, if he does, maybe the time will be right and I'll be in a place. Bitch, they can see you.
That's why I say it's complicated. No, but that's why I say it's complicated.
Girl.
That's why I say it's complicated.
I got this. You know what I mean? I'm in control of all of this.
Mandy is also a control person.
All my hoes is back. Snapchat is popping.
Come on, Snapchat.
It's looking good.
I need you to teach me.
I need to go.
I know. I was going to ask. Like, how do you feel? Because COVID threw everybody in a fucking frenzy,
it did. Now we back to reality.
And it's back to reality. and it's been hard. I'm not going to hold you. It's been hard.
Weird.
It's really hard. No, like, we're going through it. Like, I'm...
Yeah.
In my relationship, even at home, we're like navigating. We miss each other. We miss each other on certain things communication wise. And then we have to like take a beat and then we come back and we talk. And I'm like, yo, now that we're talking about this calmly and you're making more sense to me. I understand where the fuck I missed this moment and you understand where you missed. But why can't we do that in the moment? Like, why is this getting? And it feels like it's gotten harder since like when we first started, obviously at the honeymoon phase, whatever. We're 2 years in. So it's like we're still in love, but it's very much like, wait, how do we stop so many bumps in the road? Like, what is going on here? And it's different because I'm used to living by myself. He's used to living by himself.
Oh, man.
It's hard.
I was telling my mom the other day, I was like, man, I'm like looking at houses.
I love this. I love that so many of our friends are literally buying houses.
It's level up season.
Opening businesses, expanding businesses.
Yes.
Shout out to my homegirl, by the way, Cereal and Cream in Atlanta. My homegirl opened an ice cream storefront. Like she
oh,
went from
I love
her.
That.
She went from
cereal
a food truck.
Cream, you said?
Cereal and Cream.
That's dope.
She went from a food truck to having her own actual standalone
Where's
store.
It at?
That's amazing.
Memorial Drive in Atlanta. It'll be open in the summertime, but she just closed on.
And that's
so shout out to Cereal and Cream.
Because people love
the
cereal.
Yes.
So it's ice cream like milkshakes and all these different sundaes and things. And it captures, of course, cereal that we grew up loving.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Being a successful woman and dating.
Yes.
How do you navigate the men who are looking for a woman to provide for?
Like, I'm dealing with that in therapy with Sarita.
Yeah, because like I don't know what to do. Like,
me neither. So, and that's the thing. I think the fear, and I live in fear, unfortunately. I'm also working on that in therapy. My fear is being taken advantage of.
Yeah. Mm.
And my fear is like, and again, I grew up seeing my mom be taken advantage of and my dad take advantage of other women.
Yeah.
And so in a place where I can provide for myself and now maybe I'm not as needy as a woman that a man may want, I do have fear in maybe showing up accepting a nigga with 3 roommates. And then next thing I know, he's living with me and he's under my roof and I can't kick him out. Or he's cheating on me even though I'm showing up in a way I need to be. I'll be honest with you, as a successful woman.
Yeah.
And mind you, we're in a place where we're seeing Mary J. Blige talk about not even wanting kids and also what she now has to pay in alimony.
Right,
we see Adele, what she has to pay in alimony.
Kelly Clarkson.
Ciao. Bitch. And so
that Montana ranch, I would be in Montana if I'm paying you alimony. I'm in Montana.
And it's weird because we have these constant conversations about men feeling like they're taken advantage of by a woman or a woman is only there because of his money. And so there's not enough conversations or enough things for me to see.
Around the flip side.
A woman stepping into her own, owning all of her own things and being a good wife, because we're too masculine. We're overly independent.
Well, and the thing is
so I don't know, bro.
Success is not masculinity. That's the part that drives me crazy, right? And also, like, I feel like I told my mom the other day when I started, like, the area that I'm looking in, like, I told her, I was like, you know what? I need to just let myself dream. Like, and I need to go with where my spirit keeps leading me. Like, right. Literally. Like,
where
I be in the car.
You?
It keeps leading me to this area. I showed it to you. I talked about it. It's still the same shit.
Still the same area.
Yes. But now it's just I'm in a different situation, right?
Right.
And so now I'm seeing how attainable some of those things are. And I'm just starting to really weigh my options, right? And so I'm just letting myself really just look.
Are you doing that in dating as well?
No. And that's what I was going to say. What's the process? Like, how is it with... I told her, I was like, Mom, if I buy this house, I ain't going to never find no damn man. This nigga going to pull up to my house and be like, the fuck?
That's really funny because I talked about this with Renee recently because Renee just bought a house.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Where you got so much going on. And her and I
had a conversation where it was like...
And she's not masculine.
No, not at all.
She is the sweetest, most feminine, soft, supple, so beautiful energy person.
Successful.
But she's the same. She's having
a really hard time because a lot of the men that she meets, even though... From an emotional standpoint, from a creative standpoint, they can meet her where she's at, right? With everything else, financially, it's not the same, and it's intimidating. But she's also like,
I don't care.
How do we upgrade?
But even
when you get to the place of wanting to upgrade,
I'm like, nigga, you got a job. Like, it doesn't matter if we both my like.
Well, but it gets tricky then for men when it comes time to, if y'all want to combine households, then a lot of men are not going to feel comfortable moving into a woman's house. A lot of men who are doing. Who are doing what they're supposed to be doing as men are not going to necessarily feel comfortable doing
that. I mean, but I'm not
going to
lie. That's my issue too, right?
Like, even if
I date someone, you know, who has a job and makes a comparable amount of money.
And has a nice place. If I ever
want to move in with him, it's still like, I'm not downgrading the way I like to live.
We're going
to
buy a new house.
Right? So then how do you really justify the concept of splitting bills? He's not going to pay all the rent in what I want to live in when it's out of his wheelhouse to spend.
I mean, I don't feel like that, though. Like, my parents, they bust shit down. Like, my parents, they've been married.
Yep, no, for that, I'll live alone, and I'm not doing the roommate thing. To me, that's a roommate situation.
I mean...
But it's partners.
I think, well, yeah, I also think they also built everything they have together. And I think that's the thing
that's different.
Yeah, because it's like they came up together. But when you have your own, that's why I'm asking
bringing
how do you navigate.
I don't know yet.
Because you have your own business. Like if I ever got married, I don't see marriage in my future or children.
Me neither, but now because
but if
you're
I
not
did,
robbing me.
I'm getting a prenup. I don't care what nobody says.
You're not robbing me.
But no, I'm getting a prenup.
Guess who had a prenup? Dr. Dre, and that motherfucker spending $300,000 a month.
But all I'm saying is
the prenup doesn't even really all the time protect you. And so to me, it's just like, it's hard. It's hard because we are the modern day woman that is also being looked down upon. We're in a space where we don't know how to navigate because even if...
And neither do the guys.
But even if, guys don't even if we accept a man who makes less... We're now dealing with the projection of their insecurities.
Of how he feels about making
less. Feels about.
Oh my God. That's the problem. I was talking to one of my girlfriends.
That
and
is the problem.
I literally feel like her and her ex are soulmates, right? And he left her because she had her shit together and he couldn't deal with the fact that she was so supportive. Like, she's like, it's fine. You know, while you deal with that, I got this. Like, whatever. And he couldn't deal with the fact that she was willing.
That a woman was taking care of him.
And the thing is it's a shame because when you grow
up. And there's nothing wrong with that woman for wanting to hold it down for somebody that just is in between miracles.
It's a shame because it's like the whole concept of being a provider is such a prison because it's like that's all they know how to show up as. Like, I'm showing up as some dick,
but also, if we're being honest, that is also a cultural construct.
Yeah.
Because we don't hear these kinds of conversations taking place with white people. White people are not thinking about this kind of shit.
Ooh.
They're not. And I only say that because I think when we talk about the roles that we're meant to play and the ways that we're expected to show up and redefining that. And if the redefinition is going to be just as valuable as the original definition, which wasn't even ours to begin with, it's like, how do we come back full circle to understand that a lot of these cultural constructs don't have to be? They don't have to be.
No.
There's no monolithic yeah. idea of what a man of what because makes a man. There's no monolithic idea or concept of what makes a woman a woman. Yep. The idea of masculine and feminine is very tricky, and I think we've already entered into the area of conversation around with identifying people who are non-binary mm-hmm. and really creating more space for people to be open
to just be them
and just be
yes,
themselves
just because be masculinity them. Has not I hate that masculine has is attached to male.
Yeah.
There is masculine energy and yep. there is feminine energy and we all have all energy. Of them. The thing is the culture and the our society allows men to show up like this. So right. if you're not this, 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 and this, then you're not a real man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which is upsetting because I think the beautiful thing that we saw with the Cosby Show, unfortunately.
Yeah.
was the fact that there was such an equal balance of power
yes.
between the man and the woman and as heads of household
and running the house absolutely
right. and to me I wish that there were more and the 90s that I mean that was an 80s show but it came into the 90s as well the 80s late 80s early 90s and continued through the late 90s as well was such a pivotal time for yep. black shows and black representation around just the excellence of existence
yep. yeah.
and how the culture and how the profiles of culture really could transcend whatever the minimal like small-minded constructs and confinements were originally about how we were supposed to exist and create our own dynamic and customize our family experience. And I feel like now we're in a unique time where we can do it. That's why we were talking about earlier, it's so important to find someone that you can customize your experience with.
Yeah.
You're a dominant personality. You being with another alpha-dominant personality could not work.
I would never.
But it doesn't seem quiet.
But my ex is still a gentle giant.
But there's still a strength, right? But there's still a strength in his presence so yeah. that it's not a, there's no, it's not a competition. There's not an yeah. energy competition, which I think is very tough to find with men and women.
Well, and I think that like the pushback on the gender roles or whatever, all of those things changing is it also upholds men still being in power.
Yeah. Right.
You know? And so I think like, If you have money and you have this and this, then what do you need me for? Like, nigga, companionship, emotional support, the, yeah. friendship.
Hello.
Like, all of, like, and here's the thing. I feel like if you're dealing with a woman who has money, now you're coming in with more. It's like you could do more shit.
Yeah.
Like, you got more, but then you don't have as much of the, I think the, like when I grew up, growing up, with married parents, right? I watched my mom make a lot of space. Sorry, mom and dad. I watched my, for real, because I know my dad's gonna watch this. For real, but I watched my mom make a lot of space for my dad's manhood.
Mm. Mm.
But manhood is whatever the fuck we say it is, like you just said, yeah. right? So what my dad's manhood was taking care of his family, paying the bills.
Yeah.
He's the one that's in control. This is my house. Yep. This is my that. But my mother is an accountant.
Right.
So
she handled
that
everything.
That man don't know how much money they got.
She's the wizard behind the curtain for real.
Period.
Shout out to Miss Vanessa.
Thank you, Mom.
Yeah. Like, come on, the wizard behind the curtain.
Yeah, she's yeah. the one that. She's the one that.
And she's pulling all the strings. Even if he is.
Even
the,
if it's the
front
face,
facing.
The
yeah.
face. And I think that women haven't allowed to be the face. Mm. Of the leader of the, and I think with like the family dynamic, it's that whole concept of like there needs to be a head of household. But if we're being real, like it's not the patriarchy, it's the matriarchs that
you know
are
what
the,
I mean.
Like always. Who's feeding the kid? Whoever
who's
is preparing
cleaning,
the food,
who's
cleaning,
yep.
that's who's in charge of that.
Yep.
Paying them bills, that's who's in charge of the household. Yep. You go to work and you bring that money here,
right?
She the one that's running everything, or
talk
you
your
know,
shit.
For real. And so I think,
boom.
I think like the. And I think the reason why it's so challenging for us to navigate in these new spaces
so
is because we still have our parents who are in a different generation, yeah. our grandparents who are in a different generation. So right. we got a lot of people judging us being real a la carte with our life.
Not a la carte.
For real.
It's very a la carte.
It is. It's giving,
it is.
I want some beans and some corn and some cheese. Don't put no guacamole on my shit.
And don't flood my whole plate with mashed potatoes
yes.
and gravy.
Whether that be,
don't flood the plate.
Whether
don't.
That be I'm not getting married
right.
or I'm not having children yet. Maybe I'm not.
We
so
as women can. The no children conversation is major.
Yeah.
It's major for women.
Do you want to get? Oh, wait. I don't
know.
I'm confused.
I'm on the fence.
This is like so random, but I just found out that I have fibroids.
Really?
Yeah, I just found out. And I'm not very happy about it. Yeah, I just found out a couple days ago.
It's not really a celebratory moment.
No. But speaking to like the kids thing, right? So I've never think about kids, right? Now I find out I have this 2 fibroids in my uterus.
Yep.
And now the idea is being threatened.
The conversation, yeah.
Now it's being threatened, right? So I'm just laying in there in that fucking hospital thing, like, fuck, like.
I have friends both in their mid-30s. Uh-huh. One, and I talked about on the podcast, was diagnosed with breast cancer last year. Mm-hmm. And then my other friend, who actually was considering children, also went in, and she has a fibroid that they have to monitor. And she was like,
dang.
Why is this now? The first time it's even been brought to her attention, she was like, that's me? She was like, why has no one ever told me about it? Because now it's to the size where now she has to monitor it.
And yeah,
and could potentially need surgery to get it removed.
And if you have to get surgery, then that really fucks with...
Oh, they'll sit here and rush to just be like, well, let's just remove your ovaries.
They'll try to do a hysterectomy.
Yes.
And ladies, that is not... Please get another opinion before you do that.
A professional opinion, please.
No, get second and third opinions about that. Because,
oh, for sure.
Because a lot of doctors and my mother's a midwife and has told me this personally. A lot of doctors will rush that process when it doesn't have to be that severe. Yep. You can find somebody that is qualified, that is deemed certified to be able to remove fibroids without having to completely annihilate your reproductive organs and parts. Yeah. Like, just get a second and third opinion before you let somebody give you a hysterectomy.
And Tiff, you bringing that up actually...
I know that was random.
You guys know, on Fridays we like to do food for thought.
Yes.
We freshly squeeze everything is about food, goddamn. Yeah. One of our greedy asses.
I'm so hungry. But the food
I am too, actually. Yes.
I'm starving. The food for thought this week, right? I wanted to get into, even with what you're experiencing, with what my friend experienced last year, with 2021 was for me. And I talk about how fucked the pandemic of 2020. 2021 was by far the hardest year of my life.
Really?
And what's crazy is when you
go... You made it. Go ahead, girl.
I did. And 2022 has been so fucking good to me.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just like, thank you.
Yeah.
But when you go through things, right? One of the things that a lot of people like to say to people going through a lot is, well, you must be strong because God will only give you what he knows you can handle.
I remember what I was going to say about this.
And I need to know, again, with having that type of news, for what last year was, I don't want to even think God thinks, like, I did survive last year and I made it, thankful to therapy and... you know, this is full circle because you introducing Sarita to Bridget introduced me to her. And I feel like I needed that last year. And I was someone who was anti-therapy. But someone telling you you're given this because you're strong enough to deal with it. What do you say? Like, how do you feel about even that term being coined?
I think it's super toxic to say that you can handle this on your own because no one can handle everything on their own. Mm. I think that you and your family and friends, you and your circle can handle this. You might not be able to handle this. Like when I left LA, I couldn't handle packing up my house. Literally, Bridget and my best friend Imani, I sent movers and they helped me. Yeah. I couldn't handle everything on my own.
It was hard.
It was really hard. You know, I don't know. I don't buy into that. I think that's what leads to panic attacks, depression,
anxiety,
suicidal ideations, all of that is feeling like it's fine. I got it.
I also don't like the concept and the idea that God sees you and determines your value based on your resilience.
And I'm not buying that.
Which to me, it carries over into even us, how we determine our worth and value as women around in life, right? Based on how much we can tolerate, how much pain we can take, how much we can get.
That's human. That's us. We make that shit up.
I think more of God in the belief that God thinks more of me than just centering my value and purpose around what I can get through.
What you can handle.
I'm not buying into that. I feel like a lot
of what we go through is the human experience. Like, I don't necessarily think that God is like, I'm going to give you that car accident. I think somebody ran off the road. You know what I mean? There's so many contributing things. Yeah, and I think everything is not like God did that. You know what I mean? That's my opinion. I don't feel like
but
everything
I also think
is...
that's the because that's also centered around the idea of free will, right?
That's what I'm saying.
If everything and everyone has free will, then most
things also happen too.
Then most things are already have a natural order, and
absolutely,
there can be divine intervention. But I don't believe that God is going to intervene and be like, oh, let me give this to Mandy because Mandy
she can handle it better.
She can handle this shit.
You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah, that's that bullshit.
Because there are people that go that have been handed the exact same thing, and some of them make it, and some of them don't. And I think a lot of it has to do with your support system, your resources, whether you have privileges or not. I mean, it's easier to get through stuff when you have a support system. Like, I was able to leave LA and go through all of that, and I had my friends, I had my family, I had some money, I had a lot of things that helped me to get through that hard year. But if I didn't have all of that, I don't know if I'd be sitting here.
But I also think that there should be something that keeps us in the moment, right? Like, when we talk about grief and we talk about the loss of things, you know, a friend of mine's father passed away at the beginning
I got a
of
pumpkin on my voice.
At the beginning,
it's an orange girl.
Oh,
it's kind of a pumpkin.
It looks like a pumpkin.
I mean, a pumpkin is orange too.
Yeah.
You know? No, but a friend of mine's father passed away early last year, and you know, it's difficult because when you lose a parent, like, there's no feeling like losing a parent, right? And it's not something you want to have in common with somebody.
No.
But when you do, it's very impactful to be able to say, hey, I understand exactly how you feel. I know exactly what this moment is. And to be honest and realistic about the fact that it may not get easier. It may not.
This might be hard forever.
This hole never fills.
Yeah.
The hole never fills. Mm. But what we can do is take every moment in stride. And I think to soften the blow of the idea that, you know, everything
God
will be
just thinks you're this strong. That's
well,
why
well, just you're strong enough to get through this and you will be okay. It's like in the moment, even in this moment when you're not okay, you're okay. And I think if we shift the conversation and the focus to the moment, making it through this moment is all that matters. Mm. Don't think about whether or not it's going to be easier. Don't judge it. Just literally.
It's a storm. How you show up in a storm is you did your best.
But sometimes.
Bitch, I got my umbrella.
And
my rain boots.
And sometimes it hails and then you're fucked because hail breaks through the umbrella. Mm. So you don't even
right,
in your,
you don't
even
have
in your
control
most prepared moment.
Yeah.
You can still get fucking knocked on your
blindsided.
Ass.
Blindsided.
Yeah.
Shit, with the analogy, bitch, you came through with that.
Well, that's be, life.
Said, but also, because Mandy's the most prepared bitch I know in life. Mandy's like, yeah, I have an umbrella. You didn't bring your umbrella? What do you mean?
You don't
like,
have your parka? A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Climate change. Now it's some shit going on in an area that wouldn't normally happen.
Right.
Now,
bitch,
you're
now
not
it's
ready
a fucking
it.
Earthquake.
I think the importance of staying present in a moment is acknowledging that most of the factors going on around you actually have nothing to do with you.
Yes.
And there's nothing you can do about it except breathe. Just breathe through it.
Like,
and
not reading into everything.
No, well, no, I mean, you can read into everything, but don't. Sometimes we get caught up in trying to get to okay versus just being okay.
Mm.
And with grief, that's almost impossible because grief comes in waves. Grief comes in waves. It might be 5 years since somebody passes away and you just get hit. And it's like, you have no idea where it comes from, and you are just a complete inconsolable ball of tears, and you have no concept of how it's triggered, but it's just grief.
And sometimes, that's part of your journey.
It's part of the journey.
Have to go through.
So that's why I say, like, it's important in those moments, especially the food for thought being, if you feel like you are drowning in life circumstances, the idea and the hope around what the future looks like may seem really difficult for you. And if it is difficult for you, then just focus on the fact that whoever you are in this moment, whether by divine intervention or not, is perfectly okay and perfectly enough. And if that's where we can keep ourselves and also count on our community to remind us of those things, then that also minimizes the pressure. Right. That minimizes the pressure on us to make things okay. Because we can't make things okay all the time.
Bridget, you just came with a word.
Yeah, because I think, and listen, the last couple of years have been really difficult for everybody. Even the people that flourished had a hard time.
Yeah.
Like Mandy launched a business and a really successful business in the pandemic.
And last year
and
was
her
tough.
Best friend in the fucking world was undergoing chemotherapy for cancer.
Right.
Everything is an ebb and flow, right?
Yep.
And so
it is.
For everyone, it's not the oppression Olympics. Everybody's got their own shit.
Yep.
Everybody's got their own baggage.
Yep.
But if you keep surrounding yourself with people that love you, people that show up for you, people that want to support you, let people in. let people in. Let people show up. Let people hold you down.
You don't got to handle it all by yourself. Way,
that was, that was
you
beautiful.
You don't have to.
Oh, thanks,
that
friend.
Was fucking beautiful, Bridget.
Thanks, friend.
God damn.
Thanks, friend.
You be so good with words, bitch.
I be trying.
I wish I could have a monologue that long.
I don't know. Sound
like you and Hansel.
Not a monologue.
That was a monologue.
I had a monologue. It was that a speech.
It was a whole speech.
It was good.
They should have put me in those Senate hearings for... They should have put me in this innocent hearings for this judge.
You're doing a good job.
You're doing a good job.
I'd be like, wait, who needs a motivational speech? Well, who needs it?
By the way, guys, if you loved everything that Tiff shared in this episode,
yes,
go on over to our Patreon. We are doing a Make It Make Sense to really dig into what her journey looked like, how she pivoted through different times in her career.
Yes.
So if you want to go ahead and support us, go ahead and join us over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/seethethingispod.
Yeah.
Again, join us everywhere. Tiff, do you have anything that you want to like, again, you're 100%.
Tell
like,
people to where to follow. Tell them where to follow they get the information.
Find you. And, of course, yes. And again, okay, everything she shares will be in the description of this episode. So if you're interested, it'll be a clickable link in the description.
If you are a songwriter, a producer, an artist, an engineer, an executive, a manager, or an ally, please pull up to the march on March 29th.
This drops after
at
that.
This drops after the 29th.
This is going to drop after that.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's next week. Yeah, this will drop literally the week after.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's okay. May cut that out.
Okay, yeah.
But the hunt, everything else.
Okay.
And we could still, if you have a flyer, we could still definitely push
we'll
it on our
that,
socials.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
But drop everything else.
Okay, wait. Let me.
where to follow.
Okay, so follow.
But also get involved with any of the other upcoming.
Yeah, I mean, we need people to.
You need volunteers.
We need volunteers. We need donations.
For where?
For the 100%. Okay, so follow us at the 100%ers. _.
Okay.
I'm so mad that we have that underscore, but you know, whatever. Okay, so follow the 100%ers _, and then you can follow me at I am Tiffany Red.
Yes.
Our website is the 100%ers.com. Please get involved. We need volunteers. We need donors. We need support. The music community needs you. Yes. There is no song without the songwriter.
That's right.
And if you love music, whether you're a consumer, I have so many people that ask me, like, well, what can I do? You can support. Even if you're donating $5, that $5 helps me help others.
Yeah.
And helps us with all of the things that we're doing, the protests that you guys are seeing, all of the content and all of that. I got to pay the bills.
I know that's right.
You know, I know you know. So there's that. And then we need volunteers. We need more people to show up and just be brave. That's what I'm asking is from the music community is to be brave. Everybody doesn't have to show up and be as loud and whatever as me. But showing up is saying something.
Yeah. The numbers speak.
Yes.
Numbers speak. Bridget, what are we getting out of here too, girl?
Oh, girl, what are we getting out of here too?
By the way, guys, I want to thank all of y'all who constantly support us. We've had some really, really good responses from the last couple weeks of episodes. So thank you guys for rocking with us twice a fucking week.
I love
Again,
it.
We drop our audio. If you listen to us audio, we drop that on Tuesdays and Fridays. And if you want to look at our beautiful visuals, you can join us on YouTube. Just search See the Thing
Is
Pod.
I feel like it's a good song to get out to.
And again, we drop our videos on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Again, y'all be blaming us. It's not our fault you cannot hear the music on YouTube. Blame YouTube, okay? It's called copyright. We talked about that earlier.
Yes.
Oh, man.
We have to blame YouTube. Yeah.
Well, Tiff, we love you, man. Thank you so much for pulling up with us.
This
how you was feeling? This song? Yeah, this what we doing?
Well, yeah, because, you know, life is hard. This episode was some heavy stuff. Whatever you got going on, this episode was heavy.
I was over here sweating.
Which is crazy because normally, like, we be with the funnies, and I'm just glad that we were able to, like, kind of take it to some real conversation today. Yeah. So I hope that you guys appreciated that as well.
Yeah, and take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and we'll see y'all soon.
Yes.
Bye. Bitch, we'll see you in a couple days.
That's for soon.
God damn.
Man, every 2 days?
Yeah. Girl.
Twice a week?
Damn near. Yeah. It's some shit.
That's amazing.
Right?
That's a lot, but that's amazing.
Wait.
And you got...
And then once a week on Patreon. We dropping 3 episodes a week. Dog.
They're not playing.
Ooh, child.
It's going to get easier. It's
it
gonna
is going to get easier.
It's going to get easier.
And it's going to pay off.
Oh, it's paying off.
It'll get brighter. Bright green. Brighter green. Yeah.
Yup.
We'll see y'all later.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.